Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. This is Chris Brown, and can I just tell you how much I love bringing this show to your eardrums? I love it. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're in the car. Maybe you're shopping in the mall. Maybe some last-minute shopping. Maybe you're still working. Working hard so that you can play hard. I don't know where you're at, but it is an honor to bring this show to you. This is your show. We talk all about stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. You call in and we will talk. Phone number is 866-357-3283. And again, it's a free call, 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And those of you who, you know, you try to call in and you can't get in because of the call volume, feel comfortable to, you know, call in at any time and leave a voicemail. We've got a very good team that will make sure that we follow up with your voicemail. So again, that number is 866-357-3283. And we've got our first call on the line. This is Amanda. She's calling in from Branson, Missouri. Amanda, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question. Me and my husband, we make about $4,000 a month, and we're currently in baby step two trying to get our debt paid off. We have about $20,000 in credit card debt, and then our van is, we still have about $17,000 on that. My problem is that every time I sit down to work our budget, to do a good debt snowball so I can get us out of debt, mm-hmm. I don't seem to have any money left over to put towards my debt. So I'm trying to find stuff to sell, and I was thinking, you know, should I sell my van, and that would give us $500 a month to put towards our debt. You know, I have four kids, a four-year-old, three-year-old, one-year-old, and five-month-old. And so the van is kind of necessary, but I could find maybe a cheaper van, you know, but my husband didn't really want to sell the car because it's a lot of hassle. Mm-hmm. But so that's kind of where we're stuck at. He thinks I budget too much, like in our living expenses, because our living expenses come up to like $2,000 every month too, which kind of blows me away that it costs that much to keep a family going. But
does that $2,000 a month count your house payment?
No.
Okay.
So I budget when I budget for gas and food, like oil changes, haircuts, clothes, diapers, formula, all of that. And unfortunately with our food, because of some health issues, we have to buy very specific food. So our food budget ends up being about $700 a month because it's so expensive.
And because of why, you said?
Because of health issues.
Okay.
So our food budget's kind of high, but then we try to really, I mean, and we don't, you know, I feel like I make pretty good money for my age, and I'd like to be able to have, we don't even really have personal money even.
Yeah, so you guys are both working and bringing home $4,000 a month?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm a nurse, and he's a bench tech in the lab, and
Okay, so.
After taxes, it's about $4,000 a month.
And you're part-time or quarter-time or three-quarter-time?
I'm full-time.
Okay.
And he's also full-time.
Huh. And you're a registered nurse?
Yeah, in the Midwest.
Okay.
That's the issue.
There you go. That's right, Missouri. I gotcha. Yeah. you know, so really what you need for transportation is six seatbelts.
Right.
And there's probably a cheaper way to get six seatbelts than 17 grand. Well, have you guys thought through what it would look like if you had to sell? Is it upside down or anything?
We would. It actually is worth $18,000.
So okay.
We have, you know, we could probably come out. I've never sold a car before, you know, and I told my husband, I don't think it would be that difficult. He just doesn't think anybody's going to buy a van that's $17,000, you know, and
you guys did.
And I don't know. Yeah, I know. That's true. If you could find somebody else that was ignorant too.
Yeah. Here's the deal. If I told you, you can go through a little bit of uncomfortable, annoying paperwork, and I was going to pay you $500 a month to do it, you would do it, right? So right now what you're doing is the opposite of that. You're paying $500 a month to avoid it. And we're really talking about annoying paperwork for like less than maybe 2 hours of your collective time. So it really is as simple as listing this thing on Craigslist or on Auto Trader or whatever you want to do, but you want to do a private party sell and get rid of this thing. And maybe you know, it looks like you're not even going to lose money. And then you take that money that you make off of that and go buy a really cheap 6 seat belts, that's safe. And, you're saving $500 a month. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that would be that discretionary money you need.
Sure. Exactly. Right. And then I wouldn't have to, because I'm currently picking up. We're so short staffed, so I'm picking up lots of overtime. And
good.
I just had a baby, so we had. So I'm trying to get back to that. But before I had the baby, I was working about 120 hours a paycheck. So every 2 weeks, so I was really, really working.
Yeah, you guys are getting after it.
I'm so sick of debt, and I wish I could get my husband with the same fire that I have, but. He's a little bit slower, I think.
Well, here's the deal. On this decision, you're going to have to meet him.
Much about it.
Yeah, on this decision, you're going to have to meet him halfway, and you're going to have to lower those household expenses, too. He's not going to just fold on this quickly. So show some effort on that side, too, because there's probably, I don't know anything about your personal budget, but there's probably some truth on the expense side. So just try to meet him halfway on this. But your best way out of this is, yes, the van. And it really, for the amount of money that you bring home, $48,000 a year-ish, $17,000 is actually not too expensive of a car. So once you get this paid off and you get an emergency fund built back up, then you need to start thinking through, we could probably go north, a little bit north on a car. It's a short-term thing. But there's nothing wrong with a $17,000 car when you're making $48,000.
Okay. All right.
But right now there is, so just for clarity.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So right now there's... Now, what if we... So you think we should sell it private party and not, try to trade it in for anything?
For sure. At least a $3,000 difference.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be so much easier for you to trade it in. So much easier and not annoying at all, but you're going to pay $3,000 for that.
Got it. So then again, so think about it. I like how you put that. Okay. I'll put it to him that way, and maybe then he can see it better.
Yeah, tell him, hey, do you want to pay $500 a month? Because that's what we're paying. We're paying $500 a month right now so that we won't be annoyed for 2 hours, which is silly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Amanda, we appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, our next call is coming in from Dallas, Texas. This is Matt. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Chris?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
I have a question. I'm in the market for a new vehicle. And I had an offer for financing of 0.09% APR.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, why wouldn't I take that offer versus taking my money out of my I have stock funds. Why would I choose, to pull out my money of the stock market versus taking that offer for 0.09% APR?
80% of new cars are not driven by millionaires. Millionaires, if you read Tom Stanley's book, The Millionaire Next Door and the Millionaire Mind, talks about the whole idea of a millionaire that do smart things with money, cars that are 2 years old or older. I understand why you're having this wrestle, but just think to yourself, any interest paid is a penalty and interest received is a reward. Here's the big thing that you got to remember. According to Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, brand new cars lose 60 to 70% of their value in their first 4 years. Dave Ramsey says they drop like a rock. And that's where Chevy gets it from. They drop like a rock. And when you take a $28,000 car and you turn that into an $11,000 car, you're going to need some pretty creative financing to, have that make sense. So that's the reason why. Listen, you can get a two-year-old car that still has the same body style, and nobody even knows the difference. And that's not why you're buying. But a lot of times when we buy a brand new car, that is why we're buying. We're buying a brand new one because it's impressive. And if you buy one that's 2 years old, like I bought one that was, Back in 2012, I bought a 2009 little tiny Lexus, like their bottom IS250 bottom model, a 2009, and nobody had an idea that it was 3 years old. They had no clue. They're like, oh, is this a brand new Lexus? I'm like, nope, 2009. They didn't change their body style. So you're looking for, you know, automobiles that haven't changed their body style. But you don't pay full price for a car. It's just crazy. As soon as you drive it off the lot, it probably loses 20% in the first 2 seconds. But you don't want to lose 60 or 70% off anything you buy.
Even if you keep the car for a long time, like in my case, my car I had for 15 years, I bought it brand new off the lot. I don't normally go through cars pretty quickly.
Well, then you're going to double win if you buy one that's 2 years old. You buy one that's 2 years old and drive it for 15 years, you're going down to like less than 5 cents a mile over your 200,000 miles that you drive it. So, yeah, I think, 2 years old and then drive it 15 years, you're double winning, which means you're going to be a double millionaire. Way to go, Matt. I don't like anyone buying a full price current year unless they have $1 million in net worth.
All right, I'm not there yet.
which just means, and all I mean by that number is that you have money to blow, because that's what you'd be doing. You'd be throwing 40% of the value away in the first 4 years. Which, I mean, if you've got ratio wise, if you're $1 million net worth, then it's just a small thing in your world. It's not that important, but. When we're thinking through stewardship in the eyes of stewardship, it's just really hard for me to say yes to that. Okay?
All right. Super.
All right. Thank you, Matt. All right, folks. Well, we're talking all about, making big decisions in our life. And we want to make sure that, we go through this life and we're, making financial decisions so that we can accomplish some big things for Christ in our lifetime. A lot of times we can't accomplish those big things because we are absolutely in bondage to debt. And, sometimes all it takes is a little bit of encouragement to accomplish something big. And that's what we're hoping that we are for you. But for me, whether it was me getting out of debt or my family troubles or figuring out a career path, someone came along to help encourage me to take the next step. Well, we want to encourage you, not only with this show, we want to encourage you with tips, and we want to encourage you with articles and a biblical education that inspires you to be intentional in all areas of your life, not just money. And we do that at stewardship.com. I want to encourage you to sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter. We promise we don't send that out every single day and bug you and hound you with it. We send it out periodically when we have something of value to put in your life. We want to make sure that we are a value add in your life. So visit stewardship.com today and sign up to receive the stewardship.com newsletter.
If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, of course, you can call in and you can also email in. I got an email here from Alice. She says, "Hey, Chris, I'm in my mid-40s. In a sales position at a full-time job, making a comfortable living. I've been at a second job now for nearly a year and a half, chugging away my baby step two. Got $10,000 left. Recently, there was a change in ownership to the business. With that came new employees that are the owner's best friends. A couple of them are condescending to me and others as well. I'm not sure if I should wait and see how this plays out or just quit. I really want to get back for saving for retirement. I don't have the allegiance now as I did with the previous owners. I like being someplace I make a difference, where I'm helpful, where I'm useful. Please help with any guidance possible. Thank you so much." Alice, based on what you've told me, I would say stay. Allegiance aside, allegiance or no allegiance, I would stay. Because I think God can teach you a lot in that scenario. Based on the sound of your email, it seems a little early. I think quitting is the easy way out. I would actually confront with love, because that's a growth. Getting out of your comfort zone and confronting conflict head on is good for us. But this has nothing to do with your allegiance, has nothing to do with ownership. This has to do with your goal. This has to do with focus. And I would just say, you've got a goal. You're going after it. Get it. Get after it. And not to mention, the Bible talks about being a light in the darkness. And Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." It goes on to all the way at the end of verse 16. It says, "So let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How cool would it be, Alice, if you took this situation that is less than ideal and you shine like crazy there? And they've got to ask their question. They're just scratching their head going, "What is up with that woman? She is awesome. She is so filled with not just kindness." There's got to be an explanation for that kind of kindness. That's got to be Jesus. That would be pretty cool. So I think you are, this whole idea of quitting, I feel like it's a little premature. I would not quit, Alice, but thank you so much for your email. Well, next on the line from Plano, Texas, we've got Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne, how are you?
I'm good today. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Yes, I have a question about should I refinance or pay extra on my mortgage? I've been in my home 3 years, and I'm at an interest rate of 3.75, and I looked into refinancing, and they said I could, you know, the interest rate will be around the same, around, you know, 3.5, or so. I was trying to see which would be better, to refinance or just to pay extra on my mortgage as it is now.
All right. I'm assuming you're out of all other debt?
Yes.
Okay. And you've got some savings?
Yeah.
You got all your debt paid off except for your home?
Yes, correct.
All right. Very good. All right. So you've been in the house for 3 years and you're wondering with your refi. I'm assuming you have like a 30-year and you possibly are wanting to go to a 15?
Yes.
Let's see here. And the refis, how much is left on the mortgage?
Right around 200.
Okay. And what's your payment?
18, 17 now, and that's with my 30-year mortgage. And so I was trying to see, would it be better to go ahead and refi to a 15 or just pay extra on the 30-year and try to knock it out?
How long do you plan on staying in the home?
I really don't have plans on moving anytime soon, or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I know our plans are, you know, God kind of laughs at our plans sometimes, but just thought I'd ask. Now, you seem to be a pretty disciplined person overall. You're pretty disciplined?
Yes.
And are you making double payments on the 30-year now?
I haven't been paying anything extra on it at all yet.
Okay.
But I'm just getting to that step, yeah, where I want to get started on it.
Okay.
Trying to see which direction I should go.
Yeah, so obviously we want folks to have their debt, all other consumer debt, done first, and then we want to make sure they have 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up. They're already investing 15% of their household income into long-term mutual funds, a long-term retirement, planning for the future. And when you're at this point right now, I think you got to ask yourself, if I was to go to a 15-year, could I even make the payments, which it sounds like you probably could. And then asking yourself, would that be within 25% of my household income? That'd be another question. But the biggest question I would ask here is, really, we teach to make sure that you have a 15-year fixed. 15-year fixed loan with 20% down, and that payment needs to be under 25% of your take-home pay. In this scenario, you already have a 30-year mortgage. So for you to pay roughly around $4,000 to $6,000 for this refi, really all that would be doing is you'd be paying $4,000 to $6,000 to discipline you, to make you have to make this payment. I don't know if I like you doing that. I don't know if I like you paying $4,000 to $6,000 to create, just so that you're in line with the perfect teaching. I want you to work a 15-year plan on this 30-year, and because you already have it. I don't like you paying this this refi if you don't have to. Just pay it off as fast as you can on a 15-year plan. I think that you're disciplined enough to do that on your own.
Okay. So how much extra would I have to, you know, would I make double? You know, how would I?
Yeah, I would aim towards double. 18-17 seems pretty strong on 200K. The original loan amount must have been much more than that.
Yes, it's down to 200 now, yes.
What I would do is I would maybe do it from this angle. Find out what 25% of your take-home pay is. And with taxes and insurance, pay that amount.
Okay.
What is your income?
I make around $112 a year.
All right, yeah. So figure out whatever 25% of that is, take home. And your take home is probably around 90. You know, to refi, just to say that you have a 15-year, the whole point is to do a 15-year. Since you already have the 30, I don't feel like you need to do that.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was kind of puzzled about. Should I because I hear you say get in a 15-year fixed rate all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, just kind of pose it right there. I didn't really know which direction to go.
You're on the right track. You're doing great. Just keep making those, 1.7 payments or two, almost a double payment, and you'll get this thing knocked out real fast.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Dwayne. All right. Our next call comes in from Idaho. This is Mary. Mary, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. How can I help you?
Well, my husband and I are both retired. The home that we live in is paid off. We just have our insurance and taxes every year.
Okay.
We recently sold another home, and after we paid everything down and finished this home we're in, we ended up with about $100,000 that we're trying to decide what to do with. It's in a bank right now, but it's making, what, a quarter of 1%.
Yeah.
We do have a son who lives with us, and he will never be independent. So we kind of wanted that $100,000 to be somewhere safe for him. And if we'd like to grow it, though. We don't want it to just sit there. We'd like to grow it if we can, but we don't want to get into anything high risk.
Yeah. So do you have no other debts?
No, we don't have any debt.
And how much do you have liquid cash now besides the $100?
Oh, probably not that much. The $100 is about it. We have maybe $15,000 in our checking account.
Okay.
We have a rental that, well, it makes the payment. Basically, the rent makes the payment on a little house we own.
All right. And what lifestyle are you, like, what income are you living off of?
About between $60,000 and $70,000 a year, this retirement.
Okay.
That's pension and pensions.
Okay. And so this was an investment home?
Actually, we lived in the home for 25 years, and then we moved out of it and rented it for a few years, then we just sold it.
Okay. So this is going to be a little tricky on the real estate and tax angle. I definitely recommend you talk to one of our ELP tax professionals and one of our investing professionals. You can find them at, you click ELP, and on stewardship.com. You go to stewardship.com and click ELP. And here's the reason why, is because it was a primary, and then it turned into a rental. And I'm not.
It was only a rental for maybe 3 years.
I know, but that's going to have some different tax implications. So I'm not sure what the.
Even if it's only 3 years.
And it could be as a short of amount of time as 6 months.
That changes the whole angle of the house.
Yeah, because then you're looking at maybe a 30% tax on it. That'll be a big deal. So I don't remember what the latest guidelines on that. So you'll want to talk to a really good tax professional, which is why.
What was your website again? What was it called?
It's stewardship.com, and this is for our listeners as well. Yes, stewardship.com.
Okay.
And you'll click on ELP, which stands for Endorsed Local Provider. And those are folks that we have already filtered, and that they're friends of ours, and we know that they're going to teach you the right things. So for me, if I had $100,000 at where you're at right now, and I wanted to keep some liquid, which everything's liquid for you because being retired, you can take stuff out and not have as much. You know, you don't have as many penalties and fees.
Right.
Normally we teach folks that if it's longer than 5 years, we put it in long-term mutual funds. If it's shorter than 5 years, we just flat out keep it where you have it now. So there's savings and investing. Really, it's more like insurance. It's not an investment. It's saving. Okay. It's extensive savings, but you treat it like in your heart as an insurance.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information very much. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Mary.
Bye.
All right, folks. Well, man, that is a complicated scenario there, but it's a good problem to have. Have $100,000 off of real estate, took care of a property for it looks like 20 or 30 years. And had some great memories there. And then, boom, $100,000. That's pretty cool. Even if it's 70, that's still pretty cool. Well, folks, if you heard something on this show over the last 25 minutes or so that you want more information on, maybe it is the ELP that I mentioned there, head over to stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. And our huge team, who is awesome, provided all the links for you that you need of anything that was mentioned on this show. And as I mentioned earlier, the stewardship.com newsletter is a great way to be inspired to be intentional in all areas of your life. So make sure you sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter as well. So until we meet again, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.